Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. It's another binge episode with Ben Ramirez. Hi, Ben. How are you?
I'm good, Kirk. How are you?
I am doing all right. We finished season four. First full season. Well, not first full season. Second full season with Bobby Simone.
Yes, because season two, he came in kind of halfway or like three quarters of the way.
Yeah, he came in after four eps.
Yeah.
Because they took four eps to get rid of Whisper Tough.
Mr. Caruso?
Yeah, Mr. Caruso. He was gone in four. They go into detail in True Blue, the book that I pimp on the show for some reason. I don't get any money from them, but it's an interesting book. Hmm. Where they talked about fighting to get him to do four, because I think he wanted just out. And that they wanted eight episodes. They eventually came to four.
I mean, they did that with What's-Her-Face in season three and the love interest for Martinez.
Oh, yeah. Lesniak,
yeah.
Yeah, she was just...
She was gone.
And she didn't even... They didn't write her out. She just disappeared. Anyway...
Could have been the same.
We're talking about season four. I have a series of questions. It's been a little while since we watched it. The record got pushed back. But I'm sure we're gonna... It's gonna spark some thoughts.
Yes.
The beginning of the season, in episode one, there is a proposal.
Yes.
Bobby Simone proposes to Detective Diane Russell.
And she says... let me think about it. I don't know.
She gives a not right now.
Right.
Which is, I have never proposed to anyone. I've never gotten close. Don't know if you want to speak about it. You are engaged.
I am engaged.
You had to propose.
I had to propose, yes.
So, how do you feel about that storyline as someone who has proposed? And did you got a yes?
I did.
But if you thankfully. Got if you got a not right now.
It would have been really awkward. Because I proposed in front of my family.
Ooh.
So if she would have said not right now, then I would have been, okay, we'll wait about this. let's go home. This is awkward.
Because you did it in front of both your families?
Just my family.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And not like a football stadium. Because no. Those people are crazy.
Although that may have happened the night before when we were out drinking at the Brewery Girl.
Oh, you don't remember?
No. It could have happened, but since there were so many people, I decided not to.
Okay.
You were there for that.
Yeah, I was.
You could have been.
I'm glad you didn't do it there.
Yes. A lot of people. Way too many people.
Yeah. I don't know if it would have been a good idea.
But yeah, even like Bobby, he did it in public, but not in front of a lot of people.
Yeah, it was out in public, but he could have... He doesn't even get down on one knee, I don't think. Does he?
No, I don't think so.
He kind of just like brings out the ring.
At the table while they're eating.
Or no, they're on like a... If I remember correctly, they're like next to the water when he asked her the first time.
Okay.
Because he... Like, they kind of stop by the water, and then he just goes, I'm terrible at this. I want to marry you. And then she's like, oh, let me think about it.
And especially, he has been married.
Oh, yeah.
And his wife died. So I wonder how that psychologically plays off of him for that, too. Because, I mean, he's already gotten a yes once.
He's also, like, we've talked about it before, he gets hit on by, like, every attractive woman on the show.
Yes, and who was the other detective that starts flirting with him?
Joel Kirkendall.
Yes, Kirkendall.
Who, yeah, I'll ask about her in a little bit.
I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead.
It's fine. We're talking about the show. It's a lot of facets, a lot of moving parts. But, because then the entire season, well, at least the first half, a lot of it is their awkward working together. While this is, like, on top of them.
Yeah.
And then they sort of take time apart because she doesn't have an answer. It's almost kind of like a question of, if you were to ask, and she said not right now, it wouldn't be like, oh, okay, well, we're just going to hang out like it's normal.
It's a whole awkward dynamic.
Like, what do you, because obviously I want to know why, is my thought. And I want to know... Where are we going to go if that's going to be a not right now?
I feel like maybe for her, she understands that there is a love interest in there. But I mean, maybe she's just DTF.
There's moments in the season where she just comes over and they bang. And then he's like, well, don't do this. This isn't what I wanted.
And I think that's kind of what pushes him to propose. Not like as like, oh, hey, we're getting married just so that we could do this on the regular. But I think he may have developed more feelings than just that. And he saw her as a person instead of just, hey, let's just do it.
Yeah, and then when she tries to use herself like that and use Bobby like that, he gets upset.
Exactly.
And then they have that, like, post-sex naked argument in one episode, which was kind of... Because I think I talked about it with Kyle. I'm just like, I know for sure I haven't. But I think it would be more awkward to have a argument right after or right before those things, especially if you're just naked.
Right.
And then, like, have these really...
It all comes out then.
Yeah, exactly. But that's NYPD Blue. They have to get him half naked. That's one of the...
I mean, if it's not Sipowitz's ass, I don't know what the show is.
Later in the season, the way she says, yes, let's get married, is like after a movie, she just goes, show me the ring. And then they get in the car and go back. Because there is, like, I guess we could bring it up. We find out through this season that she had a molestation experience with her dad.
Yes.
It kind of... Me and Kyle, when we talked about it, we talked about how quick and sudden and weird it is. Because it seems like the next day she's at work.
Right. It's just like, oh yeah, my dad molested me. About those reports, by the way.
and then when she shows up at the case, they're like, oh, so she's cool? It's like, yeah, we figured it out. It's like... No.
It takes more than just a day.
It takes some time. It takes some therapy. It takes some exactly. Some learning and growing. It's also awkward to ask you that question, because it's like, if you were to find out such a traumatic thing about the person you intend on marrying, wouldn't you yourself be like, hey, maybe we should...
Let's give it some time.
Let's think about it. Because maybe you're right. I didn't consider this, because I didn't know it happened. And
yeah.
I don't want to step on your toes.
And it could be, too, that... When she said, let me think about it, she had to consider, like, maybe I wasn't being honest with him since the beginning. I haven't told him about this side of me. Mm-hmm. What would he think if he knew about it? Would he run away?
Mm-hmm.
I like him. I want him to stay.
Because yeah, there are those conversations they have in an episode where he said, it feels like you think you've tricked me and I haven't seen behind the curtain. He's like, but I've seen behind the curtain. That's what I want to marry. And she's like, well, you haven't seen everything behind the curtain because I haven't told you. So once that comes out and then it seems like, okay, we're all good, then it was like, okay, let's get married, which is...
But also you can't forget the moment where she is on the floor crying and he pretty much just cradles her the whole night while she is crying through this whole experience that happened.
Because what she's describing, and I am not a licensed psychologist, I am not an expert on these issues.
Neither am I.
But it seems like what she's describing is intense anxiety attacks. Because she's like, it feels like you're 1,000 miles away and right next to me and it's hard to breathe and I can't focus. And it's like, okay, those don't just go away when you realize what's causing them. And the quote that Kyle had was, oh yeah, and then she goes to work where she has a gun. Like the idea, like...
I remember hearing that.
Like, of all the things... like, of all the jobs in the world where anxiety attack is the worst place to have one. That's a terrible sentence. The worst job to have anxiety attacks during is probably a police officer.
And I can agree with that.
And, yeah.
But who pulled the trigger? Her mom.
Because to prepare for this, I listened to our first two episodes, where we talk about seasons 1 through 3.
Right.
And... I remember asking you about, doesn't it seem like maybe this department is really corrupt by Russell's mom shooting her dad? They kind of brush that under the rug and kind of just go, okay, she got it. She got the gun from her mom, whatever. Or, well, she got the gun from her daughter. Her son got the gun. It's no big deal. She was abused. When it's like, okay. And Bobby Simone did the investigation, who's currently dating her. It's kind of weird.
I could see where the corruption could be coming from.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, I remember that was brought up.
But I mean, also, you got to think too. Don't the police take care of their own?
Yeah, always.
If they know that this was going on, they didn't have any good substantial evidence for that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think they would kind of like let it glaze over? Like, yeah, this happened. There's obviously no evidence pointing for either. So let's just throw it out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Case solved. Next case.
Next case. That's fine.
We only have 45 minutes to do this, so next case.
That's why she got over those anxiety attacks really quick.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, we got to move on.
The magic of CBS. Was it CBS or NBC?
ABC, I think.
ABC, sorry.
Yes.
I apologize.
I mean, you know, I'm deeply offended. CBS is the place of, like, Big Bang Theory, Blue Bloods.
NCIS.
Yeah, all those shows. JAG, I think.
Yeah.
What was your reaction to Jerry's sexual harassment in the workplace? One of the weirdest examples and storylines, at least of the season.
That sexual harassment?
it seems like it. Sipowicz sure seems sexually harassed.
No, man can't be sexually harassed in the workplace, can they?
Never.
Never. No, but I would say she came off very strong.
Yeah.
She wasn't even subtle, like, oh, hey, like, being flirty. She's like, look at this.
Yeah.
Pulls down her shirt and you just see rubber.
Yeah.
And she's like, it keeps everything in.
Because, like, there's so many episodes and things, like, you forget over watching it. I forgot that she literally says, oh, I love cannolis. I just suck the cream right out of them. And then stares at Sipowicz. And you're like, okay. Like, someone would say something.
There was no subtlety there.
There's no innuendo.
But then again, you gotta remember, there was no subtlety with Jerry on anything.
It's true.
Even with, when they were investigating the case, I may be jumping ahead, I apologize.
Oh, that's fine.
But when they investigate the case with her, where she supposedly murdered the other guy, or found the dead body, everyone's like, oh yeah, and then she did this in, like, all these, like, sex shops and everything. Like, oh, and I think her name was Jerry or something.
Yeah, everybody pointed to Jerry.
Yeah.
Constantly.
If you kind of have that lifestyle, subtlety is probably not your forte. Because, I mean, they all knew her name.
And she was also so aggressive with the female detectives.
No, I need Andy.
Yeah, it was... And we find out it's because she's embarrassed.
Right.
And she's worried, and she doesn't want to be treated like a geek or a weirdo. But what's so strange about her was, oh, that's Andy Sipowicz. He'll probably like me. He has directly told me no.
And he's married.
And he's married, and she just doesn't listen. But, and this is another moment for Fancy to show how awesome he is, how he just, he handled it the way I think it should be handled.
Right. A female employee is being harassed, or she is tied into a case. I'm going to have female officers take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they understand they may have a different perspective on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them do it and approach her in that way.
And I'm not getting Andy involved because she was having a problem with Andy beforehand.
And he may have a bias to say, no, she did it.
Yeah, so it was also cool of him to make the move where where Andy comes to him and says, look, she's doing these things. It's happening. I know everyone, like, basically he knows everybody thinks it's a joke. But she has made me very uncomfortable and it needs to stop. And Fancy goes up to her like an adult and says, I understand you're doing this to Andy Sipowicz. And she plays coy and dumb. So then Fancy's like, okay, she's got to go.
And then afterwards, she even calls Sipowicz a crybaby for that, too.
Yeah, she gets super angry and upset and passive-aggressive.
Which then, later on, if you look back after the episode, maybe that was a kink of hers. You never know.
Yeah, she was kind of all over the joint. It wasn't really clear what was going on with her.
Right.
Because it was, at first it was like, okay, she's just super sexually aggressive, and then we find out in that really interesting interview with Sipowicz, where she's like,
you see a person for who they are, and yeah, not what they are.
And she also is more sympathetic because you realize, like, oh, yeah, everybody has called her fat ever since she showed up in this show. Like, everybody treats her.
Especially Martinez.
Yeah, everybody
calling her out, saying, like, oh, they get the Barbie up there and we get a whale down here.
Those are some great lines because it was, like, so blatantly inappropriate and so jockey, I guess. Where, like, guys are like, oh, what did you guys get some draft picks with that trade? And it's like,
yeah,
these are human beings, and, like, Cohen's an asshole, but just all of these horrible things being said about her, and then when she's in front of Sipowicz, she's like, I thought you would just be somebody that liked me because you took them for how they are, and then he kind of breaks it down and is like, oh, I shouldn't make fun of this person, I should help them because it's not cool. It was a good story, I think, because it's like sexual harassment happened, it was addressed, and then the guy in charge was like, we need to do something about it. And if they don't like it, well, then we can do it the regular way where you get in trouble and probably don't work here anymore.
Right.
But, yeah, it was a cool, well-rounded thing. It was very weird because it came out of nowhere.
It did.
It comes out of absolutely nowhere. And it surprised me, even though I've seen it before, because I was like, something happens with Jerry. Oh, yeah.
And then she's gone.
And then she is gone.
She is written out.
Because we have somebody else come in. Gina.
Yes, Gina.
With our boy Martinez.
Which, I mean, he gets over what's-her-face and is like, oh, next one. There we go.
Because I know me and Kyle have kind of hated on them as like the most non-chemistry couple in the show. Would you agree with that? Because after rewatching it, I kind of stick to it.
I wouldn't say it's forced, but I feel like he does try really hard to get with her. Even when he's trying to run for...
when he's running from delegate.
For the delegate, yes. And he's like, oh yeah, I got a mug. This is yours. And this is when she's working up on the other four.
Yeah, in anti-crime, I guess.
Right. And he went out of his way to do that. It's like, I mean, couldn't you get into her in passing? You guys are in the same building. You probably see each other like... That's how they even talk about it. They run into each other crossing.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a little stalkerish when you leave something on someone's desk and leave.
Yeah, he plays it very strong, and then when they do get together, they have that really awkward scene, I think it's at her apartment, where it's post her attack, where she has a giant cut on her face.
And who was it that said it? That's like, what happened to her? It looks like she got like cut up like a... I forgot what the analogy was.
Oh, yeah, it was probably Henry Caulfield.
Yes, the super, or the guy that was living in the apartment.
Yeah,
the
that was Henry Caulfield. He did say, like, it looks like something happened to her face, and he said something really rude.
Right.
And then Simone got really pissed at him and said, don't say anything. And he's like, oh, I was going to shout it. And then as he walked by her, he just stared right at her and then left.
Well, I mean, he pretty much did shout it.
Yeah, he's a loud, annoying character. We can go back to the Gina, like, how did you like that Henry Caulfield story? Because it's pretty crazy.
It was interesting. I liked it because it kind of talked a little bit more like Simone outside of work, how he was compassionate. Like, he knew his mother, was it? Henry Caulfield's mother? Or his grandmother?
It's Henry Caulfield's mother. She owned the building, and Simone's wife, I think, was her aunt or something.
Right.
And he would volunteer to go over and help out occasionally, Simone.
Exactly. So, I mean, the whole situation where he is now the owner of this building, not the actual son. What does that say about the character of the son? And how does that character play into it? You kind of see a little bit of who he is as a son, how he acts towards other people.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a dick.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve it. His opening scene is him screaming at Simone, and Simone doesn't even know who he is. Which is a great introduction to a character.
Especially if he's partially family related.
It also, it's very clever because it comes in as it looks like him and Russell may not be together anymore.
Right.
Just, it gets dropped on Simone, like, here's something else for you to take care of so you're not thinking about Russell.
You weren't stressed enough? Here's some more.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a little story arc to kind of go, okay, well, they're not together anymore, so don't think about that, but think about this. And he really takes him on a pretty interesting narrative away from his relationship. Because Henry Caulfield's involved with, like, drug dealers.
And loan sharks, wasn't it?
Yeah, like, he directed them at loan sharks, and it turns out those weren't the guys.
But he owed money to them.
He did owe money to them.
And he still roughed them up.
Yeah, exactly. Because Henry Caulfield is basically, like, the worst person.
Right.
He owes people a bunch of money. He has drug problems. He assumed he was getting the building because he took care of his mother, kind of, when she was going out the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it's given to this much larger, much nicer, but good for him, more patient guy.
And good looking man. Don't forget that.
I mean, that's gotta factor in with his attitude a little bit.
Haven't you ever seen the producers? Young guys that can get money from the older ladies.
That's what they do.
That's true.
That story was an interesting show of Simone being like the most patient man in the world until the end when he literally just beats him in one of the rooms.
And it wasn't even just that. That was a kicking point for him to be very aggressive and a lot of his interrogations.
Mm-hmm.
Because it didn't happen in there. You see him do it in other interrogations. He even kind of snaps at Andy at one point, doesn't he?
Yeah, a little bit. There is a lot more aggressive behavior in this season. And that could be... Well, he's also dealing with very stressful situations. So is Russell. Medavoy is as well. We'll get into that in a minute.
The peanut butter whale.
Because, yeah, the Caulfield story was kind of a cool narrative that doesn't have to do with work, but is also very interesting. And he still is a detective, but it's not his job.
Correct.
Because he's trying to figure out this mystery, even though it's not his precinct, it's not his case, but it's his building, and one of his tenants got shot because of Henry Caulfield.
And in the same way that Henry Caulfield said to...
Yeah.
Through the people.
Through the people. So I'm going to get shot through the people. And there's a lot of good lines from them going back and forth, because that actor, I think it's Willie Garson.
Right.
Yeah, he's on Sex and the City.
And wasn't he on White Collar?
He might be on White Collar too. He's also in Jackass number 2 in the credits.
Huh.
For some weird reason. He's such a good, intriguing, horrible character, and then him and Simone yelling at each other is very fun to watch.
Now, I'm going to challenge you with a question. Mm. Seeing his character compared to the later superintendent of the building, how would you compare the two? The one where the girl gets murdered, he comes to the station, and then he meets an untimely demise. How would you compare the two?
Willie Garson is only scared for himself, and he's super ungrateful, he's an ass.
There's no sugarcoating it.
Yeah, he's from moment one, you know what Henry Caulfield's deal is. Because if I knew, like, if my mother owned a building, and I found out she gave it to some random guy I don't know after I, like, live with her.
Like a Ramirez's?
Okay. That would not play into my frustration. My frustration, I would probably go to where that guy is, and I'd go, hey, do you know why she left it to you rather than me? And if that guy's response wasn't, I don't know what you're talking about, I would then go, okay, maybe I have the wrong guy.
Instead of pushing for an answer.
Yeah, like, he just rolls right up to him and starts yelling at him, when it's like, hey, can I talk to you? Do you know anything about this building? Apparently my mom gave it to you, I don't know why, I don't know who you are, can you help me understand? He only cares about himself. He's a very selfish person.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name? I wish I remembered the name of the guy. Maybe I wrote it down.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, I didn't write it down in these notes. Oh, Richard Schiff. I don't know what his character's name is. But he was just super scared. He was scared for himself, not because he's selfish, because he knew that guy was going to hurt him.
Right.
And he was quirky, but he was also like, he wasn't a dick. He was just like, okay, I know what these cops are going to do.
And he does it word for word of how it could have happened.
Yeah, exactly. He's smart enough to know, I am the guy with the information. They're detectives. They're going to figure it out because I'm not hiding it. The guy knew. That's what makes that whole... That's a great episode. It's one of my favorites of this season.
It was good.
Where Sipowicz is talking to... It's always when Dennis Franz is talking to another good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sipowicz could tell, this guy knows something. He doesn't need to tell me he knows something. I know he knows something.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy is like, well, I'm screwed here. They're going to keep me here until I say something. But he eventually gives it up and lets out his real feelings on the subject because he knows that's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Caulfield could have told Simone, as soon as Simone got the building, because he's a detective, hey, so I'm getting my life threatened. It's going to affect people in this building. It's a really big problem. Can you help me with it? And he doesn't. He gives all these breadcrumbs and lies for like 4 episodes. And then it takes Simone literally beating him.
To get the truth.
To get the truth. And then when he does, he's like, am I going to go to jail? And he's like, probably, dude. Like, what did you expect to happen?
It's not like I was doing anything bad.
Yeah, it's
I was doing it for my own safety.
Yeah, he's an opportunist. He's a dick.
Yeah.
I don't like him. Oh, I did have this question, going back to James and Gina. If Megan got that scar, would you still be with her?
Ooh.
Be honest, yeah. She isn't here.
I would.
All right. It's the right answer. Your marriage is saved.
My marriage has been saved. My future marriage has been saved.
Yes. Yeah, it was one of those things where they brought a lot of attention to that scar.
They forced it.
Like, and I feel like, yeah, it's something we're going to notice. However, I've also worked with people that get haircuts and mm-hmm. that make changes, drastic changes. After a week, we're all good. We all get it.
But also, I think the timing of it could play a factor into it. Because Gina and Martinez, they were still pretty early on, like,
talking. That's true. True.
So even if it was a problem, Martinez had it easy out. Like, you know what? I get it. I mean, he looked like a dick.
Yeah.
But
he would look like a real asshole.
At least he would have been honest and been like, you know what? I'm sorry that this happened, but I just don't think it's going to work out. Big dick move.
Yeah.
But he could have used it as a net.
Yeah, he stuck around.
But I think the trouble with it now is that since he did stay, it gives her that hope of like, oh, he sees past me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he is a really good guy when, let's be honest, he just wants to bone.
You're not confident in James' intentions.
Well, look at the last season.
That's true. She was, well, that was different. She was pretending to be gay. Like, she was.
Everyone has a reason to get out.
she was kind of the worst. New characters. Talk about Gina. Jill Kirkendall shows up.
Yes.
First thoughts.
I thought she was great. Good. Really good dynamic, especially because of the whole Simone and Kirk, or no, not Kirkendall.
Russell.
Russell, yes. They're falling out. It's almost like an opportune time for her to be kind of like a third wheel, kind of bringing a little disorder into the chaos already.
Mm-hmm.
It was interesting to see, like, their interactions. Because there's a point where she comes on to him a little bit
mm-hmm.
in the bathroom, right?
Yeah, she comes on to him. I mean, it's Simone.
I mean, who doesn't want Simone?
Yeah.
All I'm saying is just that builds so much into Simone's character. The fact that he doesn't go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, it's like, no, I still have hope with Russell. Not going to just sway. Just because you throw a beautiful blonde-haired woman at me.
and she also, she's dealt with a divorce too. Well, not a divorce. His wife died. She was in a former marriage of divorce. Mm-hmm. She has two boys. It was also a moment for Simone to explain to Russell, I'm not just going to sit here. Like, because there was a part where she's like, oh, you're taking dates like now? He's like, what, was I supposed to sit around for waiting for you to just show up?
Right.
And also, because I had seen it before and I know it goes nowhere, it was kind of like, oh, yeah, I know what Simone's doing here. He's playing the...
Right.
He's playing the competitive card in Russell, but it was also kind of a good date to explain, like, they're not really connecting, because mm-hmm. it wasn't the same as, like, the Russell dates.
Right.
Where they, like, connect really easily, and they're talking back and forth, and it's a rhythm. It was awkward and clunky, and it was cool how they introduced her. What about her as a detective slash, I guess, investigator?
She was good. I liked her little side story that they had with her and family friends, how...
Oh, Lucy.
Yes.
Lucinda.
I liked that story and how it's like, no, like, we'll get her the help for her drug problem. Turns out she did steal, and then... You see a better side of her saying, like, I want to help. I'm not just a piece of ass on the show. I'm actually a character. I mm-hmm. want to be able to show that I can be. And it's a good character building for her, I would say.
She took the reins of the entire B story. Of that episode.
Right.
It was just her. She didn't take a partner because they were all family friends. It's also cool that they have another woman on the show just because the last one was kind of...
meh.
She was there. And no offense to Gina, like, her entire character is kind of relegated to, let's make James angry, let's make James horny.
That's precisely.
What, like, her whole story arc with the cut was like, let's get James to be physical and angry, to then calm him down to realize what's important. And then when she's better, it's, let's give James a love interest.
Mm-hmm.
She's not really...
I would say this season, we got some good female characters in this one.
Because mm-hmm.
who was the other one? Lesniak?
Yeah, Lesniak was gone.
No, not Lesniak.
Jill Kirkendall, Gina, Jerry. That's not your dial.
No, we're not talking about Jerry. I'm talking about... talking about Metavoy's story now.
Oh, you're talking about Abby.
April O'Neil from...
April O'Neil from Ninja Turtles 2 and 3, not the first one. It's important, everybody. It's important for you to know. Paige Turco. It's her name.
Paige Turco.
It was good to go from Lesniak to her.
Mm-hmm. And to kind of see this, to kind of see the story of Metavoy and his whole situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the beginning, you see him very concerned about his weight.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, I'm weighing myself and everything. And one of my favorite quotes from him was when he was talking to Andy. He's like, come on, Andy, you got to weigh yourself. I need accountability. He's like, no, I can't do that right now. I was like, you know what? I'm this weight. I forgot what the number was, but he's like, and that's, I didn't even go to the bathroom. I'm still holding it all in.
Yeah.
He's like, you want us to be proud of you for that?
Yeah, he's, Metavoy, because the first couple seasons, he was like the luckiest kid in the candy store. Well, and the unluckiest because he lost his wife and children, I guess.
I mean, he kind of asked for that, though.
Yeah, he did that to himself. This season, because it does start with this competition to lose weight, which was kind of cool because it's very like, oh, the old fat guys of the police department are doing something that old fat guys of any workplace might do. And then it turns into, oh, he's made a friend with this woman, but it's not really sexual, really, yet.
And, but he's hoping for it.
Yeah, and then when he asks her out, they play the lesbian card the right way, I think, where she goes, I want to let you know, we can go out, but I am a lesbian.
And he's like, oh.
And he's like, okay.
Well, I'm not going to back out. Let's just go for dinner.
And she's the one that says, are you sure? Like, you can think about this. Like, I didn't want to offend you or embarrass you. And she responds the way that I would imagine if I were to ask somebody out and they're like, by the way, I'm a lesbian, I would want them to respond. Very cool, very understanding, and not a jerk about it.
And that's the thing, too, with Metavoy, was he had that out. Because he even kind of back then, like, let it face him. He was like, oh, I mean, like, I mean, we could still go. I mean, I've already asked it.
Yeah, I've already asked.
And he's making it more awkward by that. But she de-escalates it to be normal. It's like, you know, I appreciate it, but we don't have to.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not comfortable.
If you're not comfortable, we don't have to. Yeah, it was a really cool. And then it was, they're friends. Then it turned into. It's like, oh, we're friends. We hang out. We'll go to a dinner. We'll talk.
Then Martinez kind of comes in, a little earworm, is like, are you sure you're just friends?
Well, that was the, because as the episodes go on, then there's the question of, there's a couple questions. The first one was, do you want to meet my girlfriend and hang out with her as well?
And then that's where the gears start turning.
And because, and I would ask you this question, are all men just hardwired dumb that they hear a lesbian wants us to hang out with their girlfriend? Their immediate thinking is threesome.
To be honest, I didn't think that.
You didn't?
I did not.
Okay. Because this is your first time seeing it. So right. You have a much more fresh idea. I like, once the two guys started talking, it sounded like they assumed it was a threesome.
Right. And even with the Martinez kind of saying, oh, like, maybe there's something going to happen, man. I'm like, no.
What?
That was like the jock mentality.
What is going to happen, Martinez?
I'm like, why don't you actually go comfort your girlfriend with a cut on her face first? Become a person and understand that there's a person behind that face.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, around the time, it 90s, it came out in the 90s.
Mid-90s.
Mid-90s. I mean, the gay culture was very hot topic. And even having babies, I would have been a hot topic too, so.
Yeah.
And knowing NYPD Blue, they kind of pushed the envelope on politics. Yeah. So I kind of figured that's where it was going.
So you figured it was sperm donor, like, from the meeting, when it was like, do you want to meet with my girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
Because you can't just say, I want to have your baby, give me your sperm. She's in a committed relationship.
I want to have your baby, give me your sperm.
I don't want to have sex with you, just give me your sperm.
You just get it on a shirt and you show up to the dinner, and if they don't get it, then
I don't get it.
That's interesting. Because I will admit, when I first watched the whole story, I was like, I don't think they want to have sex with Metavoy. because that's insane. He's already got Abundando. They're not going to throw him a threesome just because. Like, this isn't a fantasy show. It's not Game of Thrones. Like, you're not going to send us dragons next. Like, what are you talking about?
I don't know. I haven't seen season 5 yet. You told me not to watch it.
So, when they were like, oh, maybe they're going for a threesome, I was like, no, it's not a threesome. I just assumed it was, I want you to meet my partner. Like, that's what grown-ass adults do, gay or straight.
Especially if you're in the front, if you guys are friends.
Yeah.
It's like, I want you to be around them because I like hanging out with you. I want to hang out with you guys more. This is my life.
Yeah.
Be like, part of it.
Like, I talk about you to her. That she's probably curious about what you're really like.
Kind of like how when you first met my girlfriend.
Yeah.
When we, before we even went there, I was like, oh yeah, you're going to meet our friend Sean. I used to work with him.
Yeah.
Rick, I used to work with him too. Kirk, never worked with him. I met him a handful of times. I did a podcast with him. Really cool guy. You'll like him.
I listened to his podcast where his brother says racist things occasionally.
About me. Only about me.
Oh, he said racist things about a lot of people. Lucy Liu is one of them.
But I loved the baby.
I loved the baby.
I loved the baby.
I think one of the questions is, did she love the baby that I wrote down?
I'm going to say no.
She not enough. The Metavoy thing I was going to bring up. Oh, would you do that for a lesbian couple? Probably not now.
It's kind of weird. But the thing is, I did, like, I do know a lesbian couple.
Oh. Rick and I thought I was going to find out that you did this before.
No.
I was like, wow.
Let the record show, I have not. But, no, she's a friend of Rick and Sean's as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She and her girlfriend, they went, I forgot where, but they went to go get inseminated with this sperm donor and everything. And that kind of got me thinking, if I know the couple and I feel comfortable with them, maybe. But there's going to be a part of me that wants to raise that child as my own.
Knowing it's yours.
Yes. I don't know if I could. Might be. Even though if I know them personally, if I know them for years, there's a part of me that's like, no, I'm the dad, though.
Yeah.
These aren't your mom, or like, this is your mom, but this isn't your other mom, or these aren't your dads.
Yeah, it's... Because I didn't think I could do it. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, I don't think I could do this just because of anxiety. I know that somewhere out there is a child of mine that I have nothing to do with. And that's a point that Metavoy makes. Like, I already have two kids I never talked to.
Right.
Which is like, that's got to be really messed up to then...
Put on a third one, or put out a third child,
and you don't even
have no contact.
And that's another thing. It's, okay, let's say we're still friends.
You will see that child.
Yeah, like, what
and
are we...
you can't say anything about it.
And are we going to exist in a world where we pretend that I'm not the father? Or are we going to live in a world where we have to... I have to play this dance where it's like, I'm your father, but I don't provide for you in any way. Or I'm not really your dad.
There's a... I'm sorry, I'm bringing in another show right now. Oh, it is from CBS.
Oh, no.
It's How I Met Your Mother. I think they did a really good job about that, because there's an episode where Barney, he's like doing this whole thing in the museum where he can touch, who can touch the most stuff, and they pull him aside into the security room, and he's like, oh yeah, so, I remember there's this kid, we have this warrant, like, everything signed, his dad signed him out, he's like, oh, that wasn't my dad, that was my Uncle Jerry, he visited like once a month. Well, he said, he's your father. And after that, the next episode where he meets his dad, who is John Lithgow. It is really heartbreaking because you see him, he's trying to be part of his dad's life. He's trying to, like, fit himself in there, but they're two different people. And the hardest thing for me to see was he yells at his dad, like, you know what? Why does he get everything here? I didn't even have a dad. The least I can do is take his basketball hoop. You didn't give me anything. And
yeah,
I think that's kind of, like, a good way to see it. It's like, if you know your son's out there, how do you live like that?
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a... It was a weird, weird thing. And the way it kind of just ends is he gave up the sperm.
Right.
We don't know anything about what came of it. I mean, I don't... I'm going to be honest with you, because I told you not to start Season 5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it's brought up in Season 5. I don't remember it coming up again. But...
Well, that's not the reason why I want to see Season 5.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. I'm positive. But for sure, it just ends. And it's like, well... How do you live knowing that? Mm-hmm. Especially like, then you go talk to your girls, because he has two daughters. When they get old enough to know what's going on, do you tell them you have a half-brother that you will never see and I'll never see?
Or half-sister.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, that's what's weird. I talked about it in the episode. The Abby refers to it as a boy.
I think she says that in hopes of having a boy.
Which I was like, wow, that's weird.
Because she did say, if I do have a boy, I hope he is as kind and loving as you.
Maybe she preluded it with that.
Right.
I didn't notice.
Because there's a point where he even questions, like, why would you want it from me? Like, I have this problem. And she says, like, I've seen your character. I know who you are. And I want my child to be like you.
Would you, if you were going to do it or thinking about it, would you bring it up to your friends all the time like Metavoy does?
I most certainly won't. Or kick out the cleaning lady.
Yeah. That was...
Or stop what I'm doing to make sure my cords aren't being stolen.
Yeah, that was premium Metavoy. You need to leave. Pants down. You're like, you could have waited till she left before you started taking your pants.
You wouldn't like me when my pants are off.
It was very, very weird.
But then with Vince Catelli stealing the quarters, it just ruins the whole moment for him.
Just in general, from the season, I know it's been a little while since you've watched it or I've watched it.
Yes.
Is there any particular case and or character that you remember and just sticks out to you?
I think the Vince Catelli, like, story arc was very interesting.
Yeah.
Because he tries to become delegate with the cannolis.
Or stay the delegate, because I think he's the
current one. Yeah, to stay as a delegate. And then you see him as a high, and then you just see his character just fall from grace. Even to the very last couple of episodes.
Mm-hmm.
He drives a bus, intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh yeah, my dad used to drive buses all the time. I watched him. I know what I'm doing.
Door-to-door service.
Exactly.
And he tried to skip through what was it called? An alleyway. And it just got stuck. It's just like, what are you doing?
And even in that point, Fancy pulled a lot of strings to make sure he didn't get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure he didn't lose his pension or anything like that. Because he was coming up to his retirement, too. And they didn't want him to lose anything.
Because I guess that can lead into another question. With Vince, and then with Simone... You see this rush of the police protecting their own, even when it's someone they don't think does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Because earlier in this season, Vince literally admits that he beat a guy all night, and it may not even be the right guy.
And then you have Sipwoods coming in, saving the day like a badass, saying, it's so goddamn hot in here, someone open a window!
And then they just stare out one-way mirror, or two-way mirror.
And watch him break out.
But then when Vince, like as Metavoy says, gets himself in one big jackpot, to a level where it's like, okay, he shouldn't be working here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Fancy accepts. That's what basically everybody who sees it accepts. But let's not get him in trouble. Let's just get him out of here. Does that kind of change your view of the overall department if that's how they treat even their worst their worst employees?
You know what? I don't think it does because, again, it goes back to them trying to take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they wanted him out, they could have just said, no, after this, he's out. Let him lose everything. We don't care about him. Just let him go to the wayside. They wrapped it up, said, you know what, it was a mistake. Let me run hoops for you. Let's keep him at least healthy with a pension. And let him live a decent life for the rest of his life. And I mean, even earlier too, after he lost Delegate, I think he was trying to find who he was again. That's why he beat up the criminal
mm-hmm.
in the interrogation. Because I don't know, maybe just the losing Delegate shook him a bit to the point where, am I a detective? What am I if I'm not a delegate?
Because I think that was in the same episode when they did the election. Because eventually he lost, but... Because I think... I would have to double check. But I think he could tell he was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because Martinez was campaigning very hard. He's also younger. I think he's a little more personable than Vince. He sees everybody because he works day tour.
And, I mean, he's gunning for Gina.
Yeah, he wants some of
that. He has good motivation.
Vince just, you know... I'm sure it brought him a great respect, but...
It's a damn shame no one else is getting any more cannolis. Damn shame.
Yeah, it was... Vince Catelli, that whole storyline was very eye-opening in terms of, wow, they'll do this even for the worst of them. Because mm-hmm. when they're doing it for, like, Sipowicz, like, in the season earlier, he loses his gun. He, like, fought a random guy on the street. Like, but that's Sipowicz. He messes up. He messed up all the time, and he did get better, and he had, like, a really horrible thing happen to him. This is Vince, where it seems like he's just doing dumb shit all the time. And so they were still kind of like, hey man, well, he's only 6 months from 20 years. When it's like, who cares? Like, that would be my thought immediately. Like, I do not care. He's terrible at his job. And Fancy was smart enough to say, you need to not work here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you getting your pension. It's not about that. It's you need to not work here anymore because you are making it harder for everybody else and you're going to get hurt. And I was like, that's what a good boss does. He figures out
what they need. I do want to question this. If Fancy is such a good boss, why did he try to write up that one detective that pulled him over? Or that one officer?
That's another one. That's another good thing to talk about. You don't think he handled that right or well?
I think he did, but I felt like he, to use a wording from there, from the show, he was really trying to jam him up.
Okay. Because after watching all the episodes of the season three times, I think he probably played it the absolute best way anyone in his position could.
Hmm.
Because the whole storyline is he gets pulled over for being black. Like, there's no real question
exactly
why he got pulled over. The guy is a meathead, Szymanski.
Exactly. He's total meathead.
He's a hard-headed, stubborn asshole of a cop. And when Fancy gets back to his job, his first thought is, I want to talk to this guy in my office where he sees I'm not just some guy, he can pull me off the street, and the guy still acts like an ass.
Mm-hmm.
Then James, or no, that's his name, his actor's name is James McDaniel. Arthur Fancy then decides, now I'm going to use my power to mess with him. He only does it after he gives the guy a chance to apologize. It's still not the right thing to do, and his boss knows it. Because the chief of D's is like, I don't think you made a good move here.
Right. But I do like what Fancy did afterwards. He said, don't suspend him. Put him in my division.
Yeah, don't send him there. Send him to me so that if he does anything, it's on me. And I'll have to live with it.
I will say, he didn't handle it right the first part, but later on, he does rectify it, though.
And then later down the episode, or later down the season, he gets hung up with IAB because a drug dealer claims he stole his money.
Right.
And because Szymanski is an ass, he says, this is all a conspiracy from Fancy and my partner... And the drug dealer.
Because they are all black.
Because they're all black dudes, apparently. And what I loved about that episode is, just by chance, Fancy does know that drug dealer.
And then, after he gets done talking with them, Chief D says, did you just get done talking with them?
Or the Martens from IMDb.
Martens.
And from Martens' perspective, it must be a very confusing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you talk to this guy who's like, it's a conspiracy. They're all out to get me. And yourself is like, that's crazy. Then Fancy wants to talk to everybody involved, and suddenly the guy who made the complaint doesn't want to continue with the complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like...
What'd you do?
Yeah, like, it's very much a, well, then what did you actually do mm-hmm. then? And I do think that it was a great episode, especially for now times, the current modern day. where it's happening all the time.
Well, I want to bring this up because as I'm binging NYPD Blue, recently I just finished up binging Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Again.
Great show.
Police Department, New York City, same kind of things. And they actually had a very similar episode of this with Terry Crews.
Ooh, yeah.
So, I forgot his name.
Andy Samberg.
Andy Samberg's character and his love interest, they're watching Terry Crews' daughters. Because he had to go take his wife somewhere. And so he comes home and he asked, hey, like, where's my daughter's blanket? They're like, oh, they're playing with the windows. Maybe it flew out while we're pulling up. So he goes outside, looks for it, picks up the blanket. And the officer said, excuse me, what are you doing here? He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm just here. No, put your hands up. Very aggressive, very straightforward. Like, he's like, I'm doing nothing wrong. And he follows all the procedure. He didn't have his badge on him. And he was able to get out of it by telling him his badge number. The officer looked it up and he's like, okay, you're fine. And again, kind of like what Fancy did, he asked to meet with him in a public area. He actually takes him out to dinner and said, hey, I just want to talk about this. And the officer said, hey, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, this was all on me. And he's like, oh, okay, like, I appreciate that. And he's like, yeah, I mean, but if you, next time, just remember to bring your badge. He's like, what's that supposed to mean? He's like, oh, yeah, no, I nothing would have happened if you wouldn't have had your badge. He's like, so you still would have pulled me over regardless. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, why is that? He's like, because this is a predominant white neighborhood and we get a lot of calls for people of, like you. He's like, I live here.
It's where I live.
And then Terry Crews goes up to Captain Holt. Great character. Love him. Who is another black man. Head of the department of the 99. And he says, I want to file a complaint against this officer. He's like, I don't think that's the right move because you're trying to get onto a board or like part of the council, city council. And if you do that, that's just going to hurt your chances. He's like, I don't care at this point. I want this dealt with. And so the captain said, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm going to deny you this. But then after a heartwarming speech from Terry, the captain reconsiders and says, you know what? You're right. I fought my whole career to the nail being a gay black man in the PD. So I can get to a point where I can have power to change it. And if I'm not changing it now, I've let my younger self down. And so he actually passes the report and Terry Crews does not get the position he applied for because they don't say he lost it because of that, but it's implied.
Well, yeah, there's even in this season of NYPD Blue, both Simone and Sipwoods are put up for a promotion. It goes to Simone because Simone doesn't have the past Sipwoods does.
But I mean, he did get shot in the ass.
But it, yeah, it's
you got shot in the line of duty.
It is an important theme of the show that your past just doesn't disappear, but
it affects your future,
and you do have to work through it because NYPD Blue, Sipowitz has to do a whole lot of work to get over a lot of past problems. But yeah, I think especially with Fancy, with the Schimansky deal, Fancy Schimansky's.
That just feels like you're making up words. Fancy Schimansky.
Fancy Schimansky. That last conversation they have where Fancy essentially says, look, yeah, I used my power to change your life. Yeah, I did. But I didn't do this to get you in trouble. Can we at least start there? And the guy's like, okay, well, it's all about race. It's like, okay, it doesn't always have to be about race. I can admit that I did something wrong. Can you at least admit that you did something wrong? And it took a whole lot of grief and episodes just to get to that point where he's like, okay, maybe it was something else out there. But it's like, it has to get to that point before you can admit, maybe I jumped the gun on something because of your race. But I really liked that, that whole storyline, and I think it kind of showed how Fancy had to work. He has to consider all of his moves so carefully, and then they turn out to not be the best moves anyway.
Right. Because it looks like he's conspiring.
Yeah, when he's like, I just happen
when
to know...
When Schimansky may have been right now.
I just happen to know this drug dealer. When he opens up that cell, and then he's like, Arthur Fancy, I'm like, oh, this is bad. Because now if that guy ever mentions, yeah, I know Arthur, then it's like, well...
Maybe Schmansky is right.
Maybe he's right. So it's
maybe. Maybe it's Illuminati. You never know.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls and this special episode of Binge with Ben. The second part of it, where we'll talk about more in Season 4 of NYPD Blue, will come out two Tuesdays from now. But if you can, please rate and review the show on whatever format you're listening to. We're on where most podcasts are heard. You can always check us out on AstroBrothersPodcast.com for a direct link to the show. Also, if you need more of us in your life, it's mostly just announcing when we have new episodes. You can check us out on Instagram at Asher Bros Podcast, Twitter at Asher Bros Pod. You can also get more into the show. There's a couple of books out there, True Blue, about the first couple seasons. There's also What Would Sipowicz Do, a collection of articles about the show. There's also Gene Kendall's An Unofficial Guide to the Entire Series of NYPD Blue. And if you need the show itself, it is on Hulu. It is on Amazon. Hulu does not have the previously on NYPD Blues, but Amazon does. Thank you for listening. Keep watching NYPD Blue. Be good to yourself and each other, and be more like Sipowicz by growing and changing. Peace.